It's Tuesday night and time to talk Chadron State football with the head coach. It's the Jay Long Show, presented by Chadron Glass and Windows.
Cut back into him and he hit him perfectly and the ball bounced out, hit Sandersfeld, and then there was about two or three great blocks by some young football players and we ended up scoring a touchdown, which created a huge, huge momentum. That when you go back and you watch film, you know, I guess the first thing he shows is that, you know, it's never as bad as you think it is and it's never as good as you think it is. But, you know, the main takeaway was we played really well in the second half against a top team.
Here's your host, the voice of the Eagles, Dave Collins.
It's the Jay Long Show on this Tuesday evening. After the first game of the regular season, we are underway, Coach. We got started, and time to talk about the team this week, the ASU game. Look forward a little bit with you as well. Coach, we're back. You've been able to digest the game a bit. What'd you learn the most about your team in week one?
I think I'll first just start off with our defense. Yeah, I think defensively, you know, what stood out is, you know, we have the tools, we have the guys to be a great defense, and we just need to put together four quarters of football on defense. Offensively, Dave, I really like our scheme. I think that the scheme really gives us an advantage. It really helps utilize, you know, with our inexperience on the offensive line, it gives us an advantage with our numbers and the way they're attacking things. We just need more reps. And that, I think on offense also, we have the tools. We just need to continue to get more reps on it. And I think that some good things are going to happen from it. And then really, when you look at the game Thursday, you know, our special teams, our starting field position on our special teams has got to improve. And that's something that we're going to focus on. We started four times inside the 10, and our starting field position was on the 24-yard line, and theirs was on the 34. So, you know, that's those extra 10 yards, we got to find a way to get them back, and that's going to be the focus for the week.
Coach, it's really encouraging to hear you mention how you really like the scheme and you see those positives coming out of this game. With a casual fan sees the score, maybe looks at some of the stats, and that kind of stuff doesn't really show up in the numbers, mm-hmm. but you really are encouraged.
Very encouraged. I mean, I think if, you know, our booster luncheon last week, you know, I talked about how our scheme is really going to help us, and the best way to say it is last year, Angelo State only averaged giving up 77 yards rushing per game, and well, we did double. I think we were on the 160 yards a game. So, and that defense, Dave, is going to be one of the best, if not the best defense that we've seen, that we're going to see this year. You know, so there is a lot of good things that can come out of it. And you know, this week we need to have some growth. We need to show some improvements on things offensively. But you know, I think our scheme is there. I think we have the tools there. We just need to continue to utilize and execute better.
Is it good to get the best defense you're going to see all year out of the way in week one, do you think? I mean, there's no great time to want to face somebody like that, I guess, but you know, maybe you get that out of the way, I suppose, and learn a ton from it.
Dave, I don't know how to answer that question. I can just tell you that I do get asked a lot of questions about our non-conference. How do we find them? And you know, Dave, we're in a really unique situation with the way Division II football is around us, where the Northern Sun, which is like the Waynes of the world, Wayne State, their conference is close, so we cannot play any of those schools that are close. That would be Wayne State, that'd be your Sioux Falls schools. Yeah, there's a couple schools in North Dakota that would all be very short trips for us.
Yeah.
The other conference that is closed is the MIAA, which is the Kearney Conference in Fort Hays. Once again, those two schools I just said are under 10 hours for us to go to. They'd be great trips for us, but they're also closed, which means that they don't play any non-conference games. Then there's also the GAC, which is when we were drove down to Angelo, we drove through about two or three of those schools that we could have played, you know, real easily, but they're also closed, and that's like your northwestern Oklahoma, northeastern Oklahoma State, and Panhandle, which we drove through all of those as we went through down to Texas. So what that leaves us with is basically the Missouri S&T, which is about 13 hours away, the William Jewell, which is in Kansas City, they're 10 hours away, and William Jewell and S&T are both playing South Dakota School of Mines and Black Hills State. And then also those other teams around the coast, which is Humboldt and Azusa Pacific, who both dropped football. But Western Oregon was another one that we've went and you know, seen. So when you're looking at our non-conference, Dave, it really is what can we find to play? And who will play us? Who will come to Chadron? And you know, most teams will say, you can come to us. It's always that return trip. And so that's how we get our non-conference games. if you're asking, you know, what would be the perfect setup? Yeah, you always want a team that, you know, that they'll give you a great experience. You always want a team that you can find that maybe if there's a few mistakes made, you can overcome those with your talent. And then you'd also like to go play a team that, you know, hey, this is what we want to be. We want to be a top 10 team in the country. And I can tell you that Angelo State is without a doubt, they're a top 10 team. This team will be a team that's going to play off, you know, make the playoffs. They're going to be a team that's going to be a top team in the country. And, you know, when you look at that in our conference, we have those, you know, exact same teams with Pueblo and Mines, and, you know, and Mesa's been doing really good also. So,
yeah, they went to the national quarterfinals last year and looked every bit the part of a top 10 team the other day. Coach, I really hope those conferences do open things up. It'd be so fun to play Northern Sun or Kearney or Fort Hays, like you said, in the MIAA. Maybe sometime they'll open that up and we can get some more localized games and some regional rivalries. Back to the game at Angelo. Third down efficiency, a tough spot for the offense against the Rams. They had us in some spots. I think we started 1 of 8, 1 of 9 on third. But they also seemed to bring a lot of pressure on third down, too. It looked like maybe it caused some problems.
You know, Dave, their defense is really, it's a pressure defense. They bring pressure every play, and they play man with in the secondary. And when you have the guys in the secondary that you feel like you can, you know, cover guys man one-on-one all game, then that allows, you know, teams to be able to bring those blitzes. And, you know, really, when we look at it as a coaching staff, we sit down and we look at our efficiency on all of our downs, first down, second down, third down. And really why our third down we struggled in was the, you know, the pressure, but also with the third mediums, we were not there. We were mainly in the third and long. So that means our second down we weren't very efficient on. First down, we were decent. When you look at efficiency on first down, you want to get 4 yards or better. And you know, we were pretty efficient on first down. Our second down, to be efficient, you want to get half your yards back. So if it is second and 10, you want to get to second or to third and 5. You want to get at least 5 yards to be efficient. And then obviously your third and fourth downs are, you want to be 100%. You have to get the first down. So when you look at it, what we did was our second downs weren't really good. And that's something that we, you know, need to focus on. But really, it just comes down to putting down, you know, 3, 4 and getting those first downs, like what we talked about before the game, how important it would be to get first downs, especially against a defense like Angelo State's.
Yeah, and against a defense like that, the penalties that can be committed as well can set back drives and put halts to things. And opening game down there, not RMAC refs, a few calls that maybe seemed a little bit questionable I sensed in the post game and that I watched with my own eyes too, that just maybe didn't quite feel right. But you have to deal with that in a game and move on. But a lot of penalties, especially in that first quarter, were a bit of a challenge.
You know, Dave, in that post game, you could tell from that, you know, I was not happy. I'm still not happy with penalties. You know, first game of the year, when you look at, you know, we've been watching for the past 2 weeks now, everybody playing their opening games, and, you know, the penalties happen in the first game.
Yeah.
Was I happy with the officiating there? No, I was not happy. I felt like if, you know, any call was close, that you know, it went against us. And at the end of it, in the second half, Angelo started getting more flags, but in the beginning, it was us that was taking them, and we were taking them, and they were drive killers. The play where we had too many in the backfield, which means that we had not enough alignment on the line of scrimmage. I've been a coach since 2000, and I've been an offensive line coach since 2000, and I've had that penalty called on me 2 times. Normally, that's a warning, and then they move them up, and then after that, it's good, and that was one of our drive stoppers. The things that we do have to fix, the things that we do have control of, is, you know, defensively, you know, we had a few late hits that, you know, were things we can't do. It is not the game anymore. You cannot do that. And that helped them propel their drives forward in that first half. And when you look at it, you know, the difference between first half and second half with us defensively, you know, first half, we give up 21 points. Two of those drives came off of personal fouls on us on late hits. There was a third one in there. That's the one that I would like to be discussing in the past. That's one where it could go either way. We're playing aggressive. The other two, you can't hit the quarterback. You can't, you know, after they throw that ball. That's just the way the rules are now, whether you agree with it or not. It's just the way it is. And after that, you know, we settled in. We made in their adjustments defensively, and I was really proud of how our guys defensively came out in the second half and you know, really shut them down. And Dave, their running back is a special running back. I mean, that kid last year averaged 11 yards per carry, and I think he was real close to that with against us. But you know, we were able to keep him, you know, for the most part in that second half, you know, caged in, which was really nice, because when they're ahead by 21, you know, they're going to try to run the ball on us to eat that clock up. And I thought that, you know, our defense, you know, did a great job in that second half.
Yeah, they have two running backs that really would be pretty special for just about any team that we would face or any team that they'd be on in the country.
You know, they're just a great combo. You know, you got the one that's a scat and you got the one that's big. And you know, we have that same capability. We need to figure out ways to utilize them with our big backs, with Jalen and with Dorian, our two big backs. Those guys need to be those big physical running backs. And then we got Jaden Cox, you know, who's got that scat capabilities. And in 2020, the last time we were in this situation, we had it figured out at the end of the year. And that's what we need to do. We got to figure out how to get a balance of them, you know, with that other option of the quarterback being able to carry the ball.
Coach, I thought about this a lot over the weekend and even watching NFL preseason games this year, and now talking with you about penalties early on and teams feeling things out early on, kind of learning about your teams. And it even ties into the non-conference schedule and having to jump right into such a difficult game without any kind of warm-up. Well, you know, what are your thoughts on if college football would ever have a preseason, maybe, you know, one game? Should college football ever look at maybe having a preseason game like the NFL's got a couple of warm-ups, or do you kind of like jumping in 2 feet first? Let's go.
It would be awesome to be able to do that. We do have legislation trying to go through that we could have a spring game, which kind of would be that option where you can work those kinks out. Right now we have one freshman that is planning on not redshirting, but he didn't play. He played, so he is not redshirting.
Richie.
And the majority of your guys are there in the spring. But, you know, really, Dave, when you look at, like, that attack mode on that offense we talked about, you know, we, up front-wise, we had four. We ended up rotating some on the offensive line, and we had four new starters there. And that blitzing, that heavy pressure, kids really have two choices when they see them. One is they want to react and let that come to them, or they go and attack. And at the more reps you get, the more you're going to become more of attack mode. And some of our younger O linemen were trying to just fit up on these guys blitz, and it didn't work. And that's something that where also will help our run game in the future, is we'll get that fixed and get those guys more aggressive. And I will tell you this, that when you ask me, is it that help? It definitely helps playing a top team like that early, because you know that, hey, if I just do this, I can play with a team like this. And that helps as we get into our conference play in our next games, and really just every game we play.
Head Coach Jay Long with us every Tuesday night during the season on the Jay Long Show. Let's switch topics now to the new quarterback. Heath Beemiller is running the show here for CSC. Coach, he showed his running ability. Really a nice game at Angelo, rushing the football. Came up just short of 100 yards on the ground. And you'd mentioned in the post game that a little better pass protection, maybe he would have been able to have more than just 6 completions. Again, that's something where you go beyond the numbers, and you liked what he brought to the table.
Yes. You know, at that position, that's the one where you're going to get a lot of, critiquing is at the quarterback, because he touches the ball every time. So a normal fan, that's what they look at, is the ball. They watch the ball. And I can tell you this, what we said on after our within our staff meeting is that he was a terrific competitor. He came in there and was competing. He was very vocal. He was talking both vocally to our defense and vocally to our offense. Very positive. I'm really excited about the year with him being able to utilize our scheme. You know, when you look at the running wise, yeah, that's great. And he had a really good day, and that's going to help us in every aspect. However, he is a quarterback, and we need to throw also. And, you know, with saying that, when you look at the numbers, you're like, okay, threw 2 picks. Well, that was at the end of the game. We're trying to force something happen, trying to make things happen.
Yeah.
And, you know, that I look at that different rather than if that was what would have happened in our first 2 drives. And then the other thing is that when you look at the picture as a whole, you know, we had, you know, there were 5 drops that we felt that we should have made. That changes things real quickly in our stats there. And then also, you know, coverages wise, we didn't give up any sacks, but as an O-line coach, I'm not happy. Yeah, we need to be better. We need to protect him, and we need to utilize schemes that'll be able to, you know, have him be able to go out and run out on the run, because he's really comfortable running out on the run. But I think that he's just going to continue to get better. The more comfortable, the more reps we continue to take, he's going to continue to get better. And I'm excited to get back out on that field on this Saturday to build in and grow in.
Yeah, I got a great sense of the leadership you mentioned with Heath, too, on the trip, Coach. Yeah. After the game, sitting by the buses, having some pizza before we head back home, he was talking about the game. He was really confident looking forward and knowing that, hey, we took some lumps tonight, but we did some good things, and we're going to be strong moving forward. And you like to see that after game one against a tough team as opposed to some doom and gloom looking ahead.
You know, at the end of the game, I walked by and I saw his dad, and his dad, I don't know if you know this, his dad played offensive line in college. His dad's a great big person, and then the first thing I said, your son's got a lot of guts. And I also know that as his dad's being an O lineman, he's thinking the same way I am. We need to protect him. And he took a lot of big shots, and he just kept getting back up and kept competing. So really happy with it. And, you know, something that we need, we have some stuff we can work on, don't get me wrong, and we will work on them. Moving forward, it's going to be, you know, good. We need to continue to build off of the things that he does good.
Fans, you can learn more about Heath B. Miller on tomorrow night's Roadshow at the Ridge. He'll be joining us live on the Radio Roadshow Wednesday night. More with Jay Long right now. Coach, things kind of settled down in the middle of the second quarter. We've already touched briefly on your defense, but let's put more attention on it. Angelo held out of the end zone except for that one 10-yard touchdown run the rest of the game. So did you find a perfect adjustment there that really started to work?
You know, it was that 10-yard was also off of one of our interceptions, so they had a short field. And you know, I just really think that we just executed, and we went out and we executed the game plan, and our guys flew around. And you know, we talk a lot about Angelo's defense. I mean, Angelo's game plan, I don't think it's a secret. They say, hey, we're going to run the ball. We're going to play great defense. And be good on special teams, and you know that's their recipe. And when you look at it, they tried to run the ball. Our defense, we've really geared over the past few years, recruited to, you know, to have a run stopping defense. And you know, I think that we just settled in that second half. And Dave, there was a lot of young players on our defense also with first starts that you know stood out. You know, Logan O'Brien, he's a redshirt freshman. He is from Kearney Catholic. He's a kid that Dave, he played basketball the majority of his high school career. He only, I think, 1 or 2 years of high school football. Really loved high school basketball. I think that's what, you know, he's one of those guys that I think if he had the choice, I think he would probably try to play college basketball. But he realized that, you know, that his football is more of his calling. And he has stayed here over this summer. He got himself, you know, ready to play college football. And he had a sack in the game. B.J. Kennard, he came in last year. We did not redshirt him. But the primary, his role was a backup player, and with one of our injuries as JJ, he came in and you know, really did a good job against, you know, a very talented wide receiving core with things. So he was another one. Dax Girardi's another guy that he in 2020 was a true freshman. We were able to utilize him in 2020. He was able to play and use his freshman season. Then his next year he redshirted, and you know, he had his first start, and I thought he had a really good game up front. In the line, there's a couple guys that, you know, were very, some of their very first reps. So, and then obviously Hamasi was another guy that really stood out in regards to he's very quick twitched, and when he makes a decision, his decision is very fast, and he makes it, you know, a really good burst on it. So yeah, I was really proud of those guys' effort, you know, with things.
Yeah, Logan O'Brien nowhere on the two deep, but emerged as a guy who's going to make a bunch of plays. It looks like Hamasi late too. The two tackles for loss on that one drive was impressive, and just shut down Angelo State when they were trying to maybe put the game away in the first half. Dax Girardi, you mentioned coming back from the injury. Boy, it's good to have him back in that secondary.
You know, tackles for loss. Hunter O'Connor had two right back to back right there too. I don't know, one of them might have been a 1 yard gain, but he also had another couple of those. And you know, I think we have, you know, some really good tools there, and some we're going to really. I'm really excited to see where, you know, as the season progresses, how our defense grows, because we didn't even talk about the you know, our top playmakers with Bobby and Joey and you know, in our D line there with Taven Bray. I mean, those guys, you know, had great games also, and Sometimes stats doesn't always show that, but one of their plays that Angel runs is they call ISO. It's just an ISO play, and that's just old school football where they put the fullback on your middle linebacker, and I don't know how many times Joey went and smashed that fullback, and what that allows is somebody else to make the play, but if he doesn't smash that fullback, then well, you know, they're going to get big yards on it. And then Bobby, I don't know stat-wise what he had, but I know this, that he defended 9 passes is what we had down, and you know, not always when you do a great job covering, you don't really show up in the stats, but he stood out also.
Yeah, going back through listening to the game this morning and hearing the defensive plays that were made, a lot of guys stepped up. Gabe Perkins was chasing the quarterback all around. Bobby, great coverage on the game. Some of those guys, though, got banged up in the game, Coach. The injuries and the health situation, your defense was hit especially hard this week.
Yeah, J.J. Hare didn't finish the game, neither Brendan Bramer. They're day-to-day right now. They met with our team doctor on Monday. We'll go do whatever we need to do, and then we'll know on Saturday where we're sitting with them.
All right. Hammer Award winner, Coach. Every week we get to talk special teams, and this is a tradition at Shadron State where the team chooses the Hammer Award winner for a great special teams effort. You had some legitimate candidates this week, Coach, on special teams with a couple of forced missed field goals, and Brody Eisenbraun, your new punter, really kicked it well.
Yeah, when you watched our field goal block in the middle there, it's a really violent play. Our interior linemen are really knocking back their offensive line and putting them back in there, and it affects the kicks. None of them were, we got hands on them, but we forced them because we forced that pressure up the middle, and that was what, you know, allowed them kickers to have to push it certain ways. However, the Hammer Award was Jalen Starks. Those of you that want to watch another inside part of the game, you should watch Jalen Starks on special teams. He had, I think, 3 hits that I played football for a long time, and I don't know if I had one hit like that, and he had 3 in one game, and they were amazing. And he was playing at a level that we need out of more people. And he's the guy that we're going to put in more opportunities to be able to, you know, have ways to change the game on special teams, because I think he's a special player and we can do some special things with him.
That is great to hear about Jalen coming back. Missed a year, the UCLA transfer. Now he's really taking advantage of his opportunity, getting the Hammer Award, also placed running back for you. And let's go to our final question, Jay. Show moving right along here tonight. Utah Tech on the dock this week. Fans, that used to be Dixie State. They got a new name now. Used to be in the Yarmac. What are your early thoughts on seeing the Trailblazers after taking a few years off against them and in the past, some big wins over them in St. George?
Yeah, you know, 2019 was the last time we played them. After we had done, that was when they started their move to FCS. And we, you know, got on their schedule for, you know, one of the guarantee games. And I guess, as a player, I got to play in 3 FCS games. I think that they're really neat to play in as a player. I know that, you know, since I've been back in 2012, I think we played at 3 of them. 2 of them have been really, close games, came down to the wire. And I can just tell you that we're really excited about it. I mean, it's what a great opportunity to be able to go play at a cool place, go to see another different part of the country. And then also, you know, we get to compete and go compete against somebody, you know, an FCS team that is just got done with their transition. And a lot of our guys on our team, you know, have big goals. And this is an opportunity to go show that they belong on a field with the FCS team. So I'm really excited about it. You know, early on assessments of, you know, a couple days of watching film, you know, defensively, you know, they're a big defense that likes to, they're different than what we just saw quite a bit. They ran a 4 down, not as heavy pressure wise. They're going to sit more in base and try to out-talent you. And then on offense, they are the exact opposite also. They throw the ball very, very highly percentage-wise. I'd say we're in that 70% range there with that. So our next talk, we'll talk a little bit more in depth with it, but, you know, I think that it's going to be a good matchup and something that we're really excited to go do. And, Dave, I can tell you this, that our team's excited to get back on that bus and get over there and you know, go play again.
Jay, that's going to wrap up our Tuesday edition visiting with you. Really appreciate you coming in, sharing thoughts on the opener, and can't wait to get after it for week 2.
Thank you, Dave, and appreciate everybody's support. Go Eagles.
The Jay Long Show is presented by Shadron Glass and Windows. Whether you're looking to replace one broken window, upgrade your entire home or business with a beautiful new look, or replace a cracked vehicle windshield, you'll find your perfect glass solution at Shadron Glass and Windows. Save money this winter on energy costs and upgrade to more energy-efficient windows and doors. Stop in and see Judd at 139 Main Street or give Shadron Glass and Windows a call at 432-3268. That's 432-3268.
Tune in every Tuesday night during the season for the Jay Long Show, presented by Shadron Glass and Windows. Listen on demand by downloading archived shows on the CSC Sports page at panhandlepost.com.